No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Welcome to another episode of the Coach Approach. Here with the man, and it is Christmas holiday season. We got 49ers Monday Night Football. What's not to talk about? Ant, how we doing, man?
Doing great. And, you know, you bring up Christmas. Isn't that going to be just a crazy week? 49ers play on Monday night. Christmas coming up that week. It's going to be just a fun time, especially if we're feeling merry and holly after the 49ers defeat the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be a really good time, and I'm excited about that game because I do think it's going to be a fun matchup. And I think there's some questions that people are wanting the 49ers to answer. Are the 49ers a team, you know, that can get it done down the stretch? They got three tough games. Colts, probably the easiest of the three. And then you got Bears and you got Seahawks to kind of finish this thing out. I know everyone's going to be paying attention to the game tonight, and it's going to play a huge part in the 49ers' playoff hopes and where they want to be. But the ultimate goal is still get into the dance, and that's what they have to do against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday.
Yeah, I like that. And there's just so much there. And it's funny because I'm looking forward to next week, which is a short week because you play Monday Night Football. So now you're down to a 6-day stretch. I fly back from Indy on Tuesday. Wednesday, Christmas Eve, Thursday, Christmas. I got family in town. Next week's going to be bonkers, but I love it. It's just all good things. And I do want to say, like, I apologize. I have not recorded in 3 days, which is the longest stretch I've gone for, like, over a year, I think, not recording. I just got sick. But I'm on the back end of that now, and everything's getting better. So if I pull down, if you see me drop out of the frame, everybody, just know I'll be back. Ant is the man. He will take care of it. And Ant, I looked up how many times you and I have recorded together. This is show 52 of the Coach Approach, which, hey, we've made it a full year. Plus, we took a couple weeks off. That's always my fault, not Ant's fault. Anyway, we have now done 52 shows, 52 revolutions, and hopefully we just keep it going. We keep it going. So let's talk about tonight, right? Before we dive into this 49ers Colts and kind of state of the 49ers and the Coach Approach that we always do. What are your thoughts on the Rams-Seahawks game, Thursday Night Football, probably the biggest Thursday Night Football game of the year? The implications are huge. Literally, first seed for three separate teams, the 49ers, the Seahawks and the Rams all see it as a very real possibility. What are your takes on this game tonight?
Well, I think if you just go back to the last time they played, you get a clear picture that these two teams are a little bit closer than probably the national media wants everyone to believe. I think everyone's kind of selling on the Seahawks and kind of buying on the Rams. Everyone wants the Rams, Matthew Stafford. They got Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua. Now they don't have Devontae Adams tonight. And that's going to be a big point for that Seahawks defense that's really good. That's the one thing I can say about the Seahawks. The defense shows up every week. I don't know what you're going to get from Sam Darnold. I don't know if that running game is going to show up from week to week. But what I do know is that Mike McDonald's defense is going to show up. And if there's a defense that can match the things that the Rams do with their 13 personnel when they like to go to those three tight ends, it is Seattle. They went out and they got a guy like Nick Emenwori to go in there, and he can play kind of that hybrid safety nickel role. So I think they are well-equipped to handle what the Rams do. Plus, when you've got the big cat, Leonard Williams, on the front, they can go ahead and stop the run as well. So I like the Seahawks in a matchup with the Rams. I think this one's going to be extremely close. And last time, if Sam Darnold would have got out of his own way, they would have beat the Rams already in Los Angeles. This one sets up really good for the Seahawks in Seattle, at home, with that crowd, probably a little bit of weather to go along with it. No Devontae Adams. I think the Seahawks are in this one. I think it'll still be a close game, but I think the Seahawks have a really good chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a close game. It's basically a pick 'em game, according to Vegas. So it could go either way. And, man, it's weird rooting for. We're not rooting for the Seahawks. We're rooting against the Rams. But it is in the 49ers' best interest if Seattle wins, because if they do, the 49ers win out, they would be the one seed. It is that simple. Seattle wins tonight. 49ers win out. They are the one seed. And just what a statement to be able to say that this year after everything that's happened, that just doesn't really make sense. And, you know, shout out to Steven. Don't bother me. He says, you know, if the Niners can grind out a Super Bowl with no Bosa, no Warner, the entire league will be on notice next year. This wasn't supposed to be in the cards. Now, you still have to win three difficult games. You're favored by 6 against the Colts. I'm not sure how on the road. I'm not quite sure how difficult that. Vegas loves the Niners, by the way. I don't know. This is just nobody expected to be here after that Tampa Bay game where Fred Warner's ankle was looking the opposite way. I was in the stands and all the Bucs fans turned to us and were like, man, we're sorry. Like nobody liked that. But it felt like it was done with Bosa out, him out, Kittle out, Purdy out. I mean, you can just keep going on and on and on. Yet here the 49ers are knocking on the door.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I like to go back into, you know, to history and look at past 49ers teams and stuff like that. And, you know, this was kind of more norm for the 49ers, like 1988 team, right? It was like a real struggle throughout that season. And they built up callus and they built up the ability to win tight games and close games. And that's what they had to do to beat the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. It wasn't pretty. It was just they executed when it had to. And I think that's what I look at this team. It's like there's no real, you know, real consistency. It's like consistency and chaos, right? Everything is kind of moving and changing. But I feel like Kyle Shanahan has been prepped for this through all the years of injury. And now they're in a situation where, yeah, you're missing your top dogs, but they keep finding ways to win. And it's like duct tape, you know, and figuring out how to patch things up just in time. Okay, 1 week we'll give up 300, 400 yards passing. The next week we're going to give 130 yards in the ground, but we're going to find a way to win. And that's what I love about this team. But yeah, if you'd have told me Nick Bosa's out, Fred Warner's out, and the 49ers are going to have 10 wins and potentially have a shot at the number one seed, that's crazy. Because during the Kyle Shanahan regime, when the 49ers get the number one seed, they go to the Super Bowl, right? 2019, 2023, that happened. So I wouldn't have thought that this team had that opportunity to get there with those two guys out, but I think it's perfectly an acceptable thought process at this point that, yeah, they can get there. And this is a wide open NFL. And I think the 49ers got to look at themselves and say, why not us? Right?
Why not us
at this point? We can go do it. And like we keep saying, and people keep bringing it up, if Fred Warner runs onto the field because the 49ers are in the divisional round or the NFC championship game, energy wise, that is going to put them over the top. Like, that's going to be crazy. Those are the stories the NFL loves to tell, right? Fred Warner comes back and helps them win. So
I got chills. I don't know if it's because I'm still sick or because you got me excited, but like, yeah, man, I'm like, oh my God, I'm ready to run through a damn wall. Oh, now, okay. Here's my question to you though. And shout out to Atomic. He said he's watching this in Cancun on vacation, man. Have a Corona for me, my friend. He says, we will know a lot more about our path and potential seeding after tonight's game. Let's say the Rams win. Let's say the Rams beat Seattle tonight. Does that eliminate basically any chance of the 49ers being the one seed, or is it still a possibility?
I think it pretty much puts it on ice. I do. I don't think the Rams are going to lose the next two games down the stretch. They might take the Arizona game off to end the season if they're in a position where they've got it secured. This is the opportunity for the 49ers. I think that they need the Seahawks to win, and that's the clear path. I think after that, I think both the Seahawks and the 49ers start thinking about seeding and potentially resting players down the stretch. That week 18 game might go from the most important game, potentially getting flexed, to not important at all, where both of these teams maybe rest some of their starters and potentially look at a opportunity to play well the next week. So I think that this one is going to be pivotal. And if the Rams win, I do think they're going to be the number one seed and everything's going to go through SoFi.
Yeah, I think so too. Shout out to Kenneth, Smoke and Niner guy. We were together at Tampa. And so I remember after the game was over, we were like standing on the corner. There's like a little, you know, taco shack, whatever, hamburger place. We were having some drinks and some food out there. But we just felt demoralized. And so to put that into perspective of where we are now, man, it is awesome. And yeah, that is awesome. Rob, he says, enjoy the short videos, John. Keep them coming. Hey, thanks, man. We've been putting out some extra content. Shout out to our social media guy, Eric Meisner. He's the freaking man. And if you don't follow us on Instagram and all those things, go check us out, 40 Hours Rush Podcast. And where can we follow all your social media? Give us your handles, all that stuff, so that we can make sure we support you.
Yeah, it's at 49ers Cutback on X, on Instagram, Facebook. You can find it all there. Everywhere. You can find me on Patreon. You know, go check it out at 49ers Cutback. So yeah, join me on the socials and come follow 49ers Cutback. And by the way, Eric, your guy, phenomenal, great dude. Met him on a couple occasions. Really the best. So yeah, go follow John's social media page. Eric does a great job.
Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dude, we collect good people, and you know, once you showed up, it was just like, man, this is what we do. We build the Avengers of good people, myself excluded. Now, let's get into some of these questions. What do you think is the biggest issue with the 49ers run defense? You gave up almost 7 yards per carry last week against a bad Titans team. Now you're playing perhaps the best rushing team in the NFL. I would argue definitely the best rushing running back whenever it comes to just running the ball. 24 rushing touchdowns leads the NFL, the Colts offense. Talk to me just about what's the main issue whenever you watch the tape. What is it that you see with this 49ers run defense? It's a mess.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things, unfortunately. I think some of it is you're really deep into your depth at some positions. You weren't expecting Curtis Robinson to be the starting Mike linebacker. That was never in the thought process. That's number one. And, you know, even though I like Curtis Robinson, when it comes to run defense, that's not really his forte. He's better, a little bit better in space. Even then, I'm having problems with him in coverage with the dirty eyes and kind of like just looking and reading the quarterback the whole time and not reading flow of the line. But that's another story. I think that also there's been so many changes when it comes to the defensive front that has played into it as well. You had this last week, and I think it was, you know, Kevin Givens struggles against double teams. And so you saw him getting moved. He was getting moved a lot. That makes it more difficult for linebackers, but those linebackers are not built to shed blocks and they don't do a great job at it. Probably one of the best at doing it is Tatum Bethune, and he's been on the shelf. So I think it's a combination of the players that are out there and then some of the situations that are going into it as well. I do think that number was a little bit elevated because down the stretch, the 49ers were kind of letting them run the ball a little bit because they wanted them to use the clock as they had a big lead. But for the most part, they just couldn't slow down Tony Pollard. He was getting the edge. You had Diamondo Lenore making mistakes out on the edge. You had the alley defenders not making tackles, and tackling's been a problem. I thought it was a whole host of things, and I'm hoping that getting some of these guys back, getting Sam Okwuanu back, getting Tatum Bethune, probably Eric Kendricks coming up, listening to the things that Matt Maiocco is saying about Eric Kendricks and how the coaching staff feels about him. I think they have plans for him as well. So I think all those things could play into it, but personnel and just some of the way they play it has been difficult for the 49ers, and that's why their run game has been struggling, or run defense has been struggling.
So, like, okay, well, the first practice report hasn't even come out because the Niners play Monday. You don't get the practice report Wednesday. You get it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that comes out later today. Who the hell is going to be the Mike backer? It's been Curtis Robinson for 3 games. Now Tatum Bethune likely back to practice. Eric Kendricks hopefully, you know, showed up, got injured first day, whatever else. But who do you see as the starting Mike backer this week versus the Colts?
I was leading towards Eric Kendricks before the calf injury, because I thought that with him having that green dot, he would be able to do some things that Bethune can't. I think Kendricks is good enough against the run, but also helps you when it comes to coverage. The instincts, there's nothing he hasn't seen. And so I thought that might help, because if there was one thing that the 49ers struggled with Tatum Bethune at Mike linebacker, it was getting everyone lined up in the right spots, the breakdowns and coverage, those types of things. Those things kind of went away a little bit with Curtis Robinson, especially when they were holding teams under 10 points. It looked like everyone was kind of on the same page. And so I was wondering, when the 49ers brought in Kendricks, if that was the main reason, was to kind of get somebody that could pull all the strings and get everyone in the right positions. But Tatum Bethune's really good against the run. So either way you go, I think you're going to have a improvement when you come to your base defense, your 4-3 defense. But I think Kendrick came to this team thinking he was going to get out on the field And so I think that there's an opportunity for him there. But yeah, I would probably think Kendricks, but I'm not sold on that. I don't know for sure. I think the 49ers are going to make everyone wait and see too.
But I do think that there is a very real possibility that we will see Kendricks and Tatum out there in our 4-3 base set. So like, even if Kendricks isn't the Mike, which again, you look at every single thing that Robert Saleh or Kyle Shanahan has said, what is it that makes a Mike backer? Communication, right? They say communicate, whoever can get everybody lined up right. That's like a 100-1. Like even Curtis Robinson, you stopped having the busts as soon as Curtis Robinson came in. Right. And so like, that's the difference. And again, you're talking about somebody that has over 5,000 career snaps versus Tatum Bethune, who's played about 300 snaps in his career. There's just such a big difference there. So I wouldn't mind Eric Kendricks being the Mike, bringing in Tatum Bethune as, you know, forget big nickel this week. We're running 4-3 base sets against this, you know, double tight set that the, you know, the Colts run all the time. We're going to stop the run. We're going to stop the run. And that's what we're going to do. So, hey, back to the kind of the question that got us started is, what's the issue with the run game of the 49ers? And it's safety play, it's linebacker play, it's defensive tackle play. You've got young guys everywhere, but the consistency, it seems like one of those three levels misses. And then whenever they're all on the same page and they actually do well, Diamador Lenore gives up outside contain without anybody even touching him for a big gain. So it's just consistency. And man, hopefully last week was a little bit of a wake-up call. I know there were some people, I think Kyle Shanahan mentioned, like, about missed tackles. Like, well, they're just tired. The bye week should help. Wrong. They went out there the first and second quarter, and it was just like, yep, definitely was not the bye week. It wasn't about rest. Is it kind of what we've got and what we've seen is what we're going to continue to see there? Like, is it? Are we dumb to expect the 49ers to all of a sudden become a quality tackling defensive football team?
No, I don't think that I don't think that's the case, because we've seen them do it, right? When they played Carolina, Rico Dowdle in that run game was coming in and they were pretty darn good. And the 49ers completely shut them down. And they did it because they played sound defense. They tackled and then they got a lead and then they played from the front. So that's still the method to the madness of the 49ers, is if they can win on offense and they can get a lead, they're going to help eliminate some of the run defense of woes. And that's not anything that's different for Robert Saleh's defense. You go back and look at 2019, they used to give up 112 yards per game. That's with Buckner and Armstead and all those guys. They gave up run plays, but the problem was they would get a lead and all of a sudden, boom, there you go. And so I think that that is another part of this, but I think getting Jordan Elliott back, getting Eric Kendricks, Tatum Bethune, I think those make a huge difference. You add Sam Okwuonu to the rotation as well. I think that improves your run defense. And then you tell Malik Mustafa, slow down. You're going a little bit too fast. Break it down, make some tackles. And I think if that happens, it'll help them. Also, capitalizing on turnovers. Get off the field. Make those plays. If you do, they don't have more opportunities to run the ball. So I think all those things are pivotal to the 49ers run defense.
Yeah, I like that. Camp's dad, appreciate the super chat. He says, Kendricks is a must at Indy with Rivers throwing. I love that. Captain Niner adds on that. The chess match between the Mike and quarterback. I want Kendricks. I want to see just what Kendricks can do. Like, that is fascinating to me. And man, put Tatum in that same spot. Oh, let him go thump. Like, dude, we're going to bring you in. And, you know, that's what I want to see. And so we'll see how that looks and kind of what goes from there. Now, I do got to say, if you are coming out to Indianapolis, I fly out Saturday night or Saturday morning. I land Saturday night. We'll be at Tom's Watch Bar Sunday, 3 to 7 p.m. That's going to be a blast. Kids always free. Then we have an all-inclusive premium tailgate at the Saint Shack before the game that starts at 4 p.m. local Indy time. And if you haven't bought your tickets or anytime you go to any game, this is where you got to buy your tickets. TickPick is the best. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners
Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
All right, let's switch over to the 49ers offensive side. What are your thoughts on the offensive production over the last 4 weeks? Because they're humming. And like, how distant of a conversation were the people that are like, dude, we got to keep Mac Jones in there. We got to keep Mac Jones in there. And then you switch over to Brock Purdy. It took one game. Everybody's like, yep, this was the right choice. Is that going to continue? Or was that, man, you look at the schedule and who the Niners have played. They didn't really play a lot of quality teams. Like, you could talk about the Browns and their defense for sure. But I mean, Titans, Browns, Panthers, Cardinals. Nothing that's really too exciting. So what do you think about this offense? Is it for real? Is it one of the top offenses in the NFL? Or is it just they can play well against bad teams?
I think it is for real because of a couple of key metrics. I think, first off, how good they are in the red zone. They are one of the best teams in the NFL in the red zone. And over the last 6 weeks, not even the last four, but over the last 6 weeks, they've been probably the best red zone offense in the entire league. Then you throw in the fact that they're the second best third down efficiency team in the entire NFL, and that's how you stay on the field. That's how you're going to win drives. 49ers are going on long drives. They're winning in time of possession. They won the time of possession by 15 minutes last week. Like, that is winning football in the NFL. So this offense is for real. And with Brock Purdy pulling the trigger, he's done such a good job. You can tell now that he's in full command. He's taking what's there. That is a fundamental part of playing quarterback that some quarterbacks just never can figure out, but Brock's got it. He'll take the shot when it's there. He'll take the check down when it's there. He'll use his legs when he has to. He's just doing everything he needs to do to be a successful quarterback, and including throwing the ball away. Sometimes you got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him, and he does a really good job of doing that right now. I think that this offense is sky is the limit because of the metrics of third downs, the metrics of the red zone. As long as they can take care of the football, this is a 30-plus point team. Like, I said this a couple of days ago on one of my shows. I said, you know what? The 49ers have a championship caliber offense. And I really believe that. I think they have a championship caliber offense now because of that. And so the defense has got to play good enough, right? Special teams got to play good enough to help the offense out. And special teams has done their part. But I do think that this offense is for real.
Well, okay. Well, let's transition that conversation then over to the Colts. And the Colts have a good defense. One of my favorite defensive coordinators in the league is Lou Anarumo, just because you watch him and you're just like, dude, I don't know what the hell this guy's doing. Like it's like an amoeba defense. I don't know if you ever coached against that type front. Like, it's weird, man. Like, it's hard to get your rules and your alignments. And every single game I've watched way back when he was at Cincy to with the Colts, like, he gets a couple guys free just based off of X's and O's and alignment and stuff. But you look at the defensive rankings of the Colts, they're a kind of 10 to 12 ranked defense. They're not elite, but they're not bad. They're better than average. Definitely tougher than what the 49ers have seen. What do you think the offensive game plan is going to be for the 49ers? Does it kind of stay the same? I like this comment from Charles. He says, you know, the 49ers need to keep the same game plan, play action, keep Purdy moving. That's Purdy at his best. You look at the last couple games, they're starting off play action rollouts, bootlegs, you know, all that kind of stuff to start the game instead of this go out, run the ball. No. This is a throwing offense now. So how do you see the 49ers coach approach to attacking this Colts defense?
Well, I think if you look at the Colts, the weakness really is their secondary, right? Charvarius Ward is out. They traded for Sauce Gardner. He's out. And so you've got a situation where you've got places you can take advantage of in the secondary. 49ers can win with their guys. And it's a continuation of what they've been doing, especially over the last several weeks. It's run this offense through Christian McCaffrey and with George Kittle. They are matchup problems for every single team that they play. This is no different. And so I think that that's what they're going to continue to do. But yeah, they're being effective moving the pocket and allowing those boots and things outside to happen. And they're putting a lot of pressure on defenses to cover all the grass. Even though there hasn't been big vertical plays down the field, there were explosive plays in this game. One of them, Pearsall caught across the middle. Another one, Brock Purdy airmailed, that may have been a touchdown. So you're seeing the big plays start to come in. teams are still respecting the run game of the 49ers, even though the run game is not as effective as everyone likes it to be. It's still being effective, because as long as you can keep doing it, it's effective enough, you can keep going to it, then that means that teams have to respect it. And so I think that that's what they're doing. You're still seeing linebackers step up. So I think the game plan is what it's always been. We're going to get the football in Brock Purdy's hands, let him create. And then when it comes to the run game, it's got to be good enough. It's 3.5 yards per carry. That's good enough for the 49ers right now to keep a team honest and allow Brock Purdy to do the work that he needs to do.
The one area, my biggest area of concern, the Colts defense is the best in the NFL at yards per rush attempt. 49ers are second to last. Like, that is I would take 3.5. If you told me the 49ers average 3.5 yards per carry, sign up for it right now, I'm taking it, which is dog trash for like a traditional Shanahan offense. You can go back, Dad Shanahan, whatever else. Like, but I would take that. Keith says both corners are out. Well, the very first practice is today. Practice reports. Charvarius Ward just got put on IR with his third concussion this season. So there's 0% chance he plays. There is a chance that Sauce could play, but I don't think that he will be. Now, and to put this into perspective, you know, we're a Niners focused show, but man, you start looking at the Colts, who have dropped 5 of the last 6. They're the 8th seed. If the playoffs were today, they would not be in the playoffs. And then you look at that on top of it, their schedule, they got 49ers, Jacksonville, Texans, like back-to-back divisional games. That's three. All three of those teams are in the playoffs right now. Like, they almost have to win to get in. Now, they could drop the Niners, win both last two games, and have a chance. But this Colts team, their back is against the wall. Like, it is. You don't bring a 44-year-old quarterback out of retirement unless you're in desperation mode. And that is exactly where they are. Now, there's two ways to look at that. There's, oh, they're desperate, take advantage of it. And then there's, well, what happens when a dog gets backed up into a corner? It's going to bite you. And so this is a good Colts team. You talked about the offensive strategy. What are your thoughts, just from a coaching perspective, when you watch them, offense, defense, special teams, something that you saw that kind of jumped out about this Colts team that you're like, this is a little interesting?
I think it's the run game, because the run game was so good early. It was so good. Jonathan Taylor was phenomenal. But when the Colts running game struggles at all, when he doesn't get 100 yards, they lose. Like, they just don't win when he's not, you know, crazy successful. And what we've seen is his numbers have gone down just a little bit. They've been a little less effective. Now, they have had some injuries, right? Left tackle, he's dealing with an injury right now, an elbow. He may not play. They had the right tackle out. So they have been beat up a little bit along that offensive line. But I think that Jonathan Taylor's been carrying this offense for most of the year. You know, he was kind of masking some of the ineffective nature of Daniel Jones. And so at some point it caught up to them. And I think that that's been a big part of it. But the 49ers have got to stop Jonathan Taylor. And when I'm talking, they got to stop him. They're not holding him to under 75 yards or anything like that, but anything around 100. And I think you're feeling like, oh yeah, we got a chance to win. They can be effective, because anything third and long is going to be bad for Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers wants to get the ball out. He wants to get it out on time. He wants to get it underneath. 49ers rally, make tackles. But I think that that's the thing. I like the Colts running game a lot. I think that's the strength of this football team. And the 49ers can slow it down any. I think that they'll go ahead and slow down that Colts offense to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I like that. Now, all right, what about this? I thought this was interesting. Matthew Judon gets put on waivers. Kind of just a solid, because his team is no longer involved in the playoffs. What are your thoughts with the 49ers? They have the most defensive end injuries in the entire NFL. I know you're expecting Ettore Gross Matos back eventually, but expecting that has gone very poorly. He's missed 16 out of 32 games since he's been with the Niners. Do you think, shout out to Dale in the super chat, should the 49ers pick up Matthew Judon?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's cleared waivers yet. I think that that's going
to
be.
They would have to put in a waiver claim for him. Yeah.
I wouldn't put in a waiver claim if I was the 49ers for him, just because of the guys you have right now in the room, right? You traded for Keon White. You still have Bryce Huff, Sam Okwuondi was coming back. You're already going to have to make a roster move, which probably means moving Robert Beal Jr. off your roster. Do you want to lose somebody else potentially too? Because you got to get Ettore Gross Matos back. You need him for pass rush reasons. And I get it. Matthew Judon has been a very good player in his career, but really he's had 10 pressures this season, no sacks. It hasn't been great production in Miami. He would help a little bit when it comes to setting an edge. He knows how to play NFL defense. I think the best case scenario for the 49ers when it comes to Matthew Judon would be if he cleared waivers, can we get you to come sign with our practice squad the same way that you did with Eric Kendricks and then potentially elevate him? I think that that would be the best way to go. I do think that there's some value there, but not enough to put a claim in that you need to put him on the active 53 and move off somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a best of both worlds. I think he's going to be claimed again anytime after the trade deadline. Vets that are vetted do not go. They don't get a pick. They have to go through waivers. So the Niners, which would be like the 5th, 6th team, you would have to have all these teams pass on them first. Then you'd have to. And so like if we do Ant's approach, we say, hey, we want you here, but probably not. His contract ain't bad. Like you can get he's basically for free at this point. He didn't sign for a very big deal anyway. They had a lot of void years, but they're going to eat that. I'm with you. I would like another defensive end. You could definitely use it. It's just, man, who are you going to lose? Might swap out a defensive tackle, if I'm going to be honest with you, if I had to make the choice, because then we could put him out there for, you know, NASCAR packages and whatnot. So like Kevin Givens or something like that, maybe perhaps, but yeah, we'll see there. Right here from Nicholas Parra, the Godfather, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Glad to see you in here. He says, the screen game is something to watch out for, too. They're good. Their line moves. I mean, they got Quentin Nelson out there. They got one of my favorite centers that I was so pissed off when the Niners didn't draft Bortolini. He was such a fun player, moved so well in space. Colts run a lot of screens. You get Jonathan Taylor in space. You even talk about their tight end, the Tyler Warren, who's a freaking stud. Josh Downs, they do some stuff there as well. Screen game's going to be big this weekend. How do you think the 49ers can kind of combat that? They have not been a good screen defense team for almost 3 years now.
This is where you really need Eric Kendricks and Tatum Bethune, because when you look at the way that Curtis Robinson's played the screens over the last 3 weeks, it hasn't been good. That's what I was talking about earlier with the dirty eyes.
His angles are so bad. It's like a baby duck where he just follows behind. Like, you got to go where they're going. Sorry.
No, you're 100% right. It's the angles, and it's the how late he recognizes it. Offensive lineman pulling right in front of him, and he's just standing pat. You know, Fred Warner would have already got over there, got in position, got the proper angle to turn it in. Like, he would have done his job. And I think that's what they're kind of lacking right now when it comes to Curtis Robinson. Bethune played it a little bit better when he played. That's why I pointed him out. Kendricks has played it great in his career. So I think that these are a couple of things that would help. But then it's just hustle. And luckily for the 49ers, guys like Cleveland Farrell and Bryce Huff fly around and try to help from the backside on these screen plays. That's important. Upton Stout has been fighting to help with these screens as well, especially wide receiver screens. But it's going to come down to those guys, those linebackers, and Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa making tackles. That's the biggest concern. And if the Colts get the screen game going with Tyler Warren and Jonathan Taylor, they have some big play potential there. So it's going to be about reading your keys and getting the proper angles to get where you're supposed to be and then making the tackle when you're there. 49ers have the capabilities to stop it, but they have struggled with screens for a long time.
It's funny. It don't matter how much we talk about this matchup, which, you know, there's still some more questions I have about it. No matter what we want to talk about, it goes back to the 49ers defense, because this is the concern. From a personnel standpoint, from all those things, it doesn't matter what we bring up. The conversation just goes back to, man, can the 49ers defense do something? Which, first the Titans, they had three and outs, and that was enough because the offense was humming, special teams was doing their job. That's a rough ask, week in and week out. We'll see what that is. Now, I got some more questions about 49ers and the Colts right after this. December doesn't have to be the most expensive month of the year if you're betting with MyBookie. They have their 12 days of Christmas is coming soon with daily offers dropping back to back to back to back 12 days in a row all across sports and the casino. And I'm talking bets and gets, profit boosts, free spins, even surprise drops for social and Telegram users. And with December being so packed, you got the NFL, you got college NFL, your college bowl season, college hoops. It's all serving up for opportunities to cash. And if you go to mybookie.ag now, punch in the code 49ers, 49ERS, you get your first bet covered up to $500. Make sure you click that opt-in button. If you go big and miss on the first bet,
Use your bet back bonus token and run it back. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've used this in California. I've used it in Texas. Doesn't matter where you're at. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. And again, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. All right. Now, I've got a couple answers here, but I wanted to know, what is your biggest 49ers advantage versus this Colts team? What, it could be a player or matchup. It could be, you know, play action, whatever, pass rush, definitely not for us. But like, what is one of the matchups whenever you look at this game tape, roster setup, whatever, where it's like the 49ers have a very clear, distinct advantage in this area? What comes true?
Yeah, I think it's sticking to what they do the best, but I think it's the 49ers' uses of personnel groupings against teams, right? And getting the matchups you want for George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey, because there's so much attention paid to those two guys that at this point, even when they're not producing, like in McCaffrey's case last week, he wasn't really doing anything when it came to catching the football. But what everyone doesn't notice if you're just watching the TV copy is the fact that McCaffrey's drawing coverage to him that's opening things up for Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson. And so it's Kyle Shanahan's usage and that ace formation that he's been running with the 21 personnel, getting Juszczyk and Kittle on each side where he can run some of these flood concepts, you know, get the pocket moving, I think can be successful against any defense. And at this point, they've pretty much seen everything that this league is going to throw at him. And Kyle Shanahan is prepared for it. And so I think that that's the advantage every single week. And I sound like a broken record when I'm going through key matchups. It's like, okay, they got an advantage Kittle versus safeties. Oh, they got an advantage McCaffrey versus linebackers. But it is the case. And even when they figure out how to slow those guys down, it just opens things up for everyone else. But Kyle Shanahan's been masterful about opening up horizontal windows for his guys to catch the ball, opening up vertical windows with motions and shifts and movement. He is really doing a great job in helping this team out. And then Brock Purdy's making the right reads at the right time. So I think that's the advantage I like. The personnel groupings for the 49ers sticking in that 21 personnel where there's a groove. And then if a team overcommits, he's going 11, spacing them out horizontally and finding these little windows. And McCaffrey and Kittle are kind of opening the windows for everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Shanahan offense. You could pick what you want to stop, and Shanahan's fine with that. And so if you overcommit to the outside zone, well, then the cutback's there, inside zone, counter, all those things start to show up. But if you don't overflow, then they'll just stick with what they got. And probably one of the funniest film clips last week was Brian Robinson was in. Trent does his classic snatch and jerk move, puts his dude in the ground, and Brian Robinson doesn't see the cutback. And in the middle of play, you see Trent holding his hands up like, dude, you had 4-yard cutback. Like, you would have went forever. But like, CMC ain't going to miss that. Brian Robinson, you know, vision, that's not his strong suit. CMC may be the best vision of any running back ever. That's there as well. But man, my thing is whenever there is poor linebacker play, especially in coverage, you are in trouble against Kyle Shanahan. And Zaire Franklin, who's not, he's not a good, not a bad guy. He kind of falls in the Jag territory, whatever else. But he's their number two linebacker. He is the 77th out of 79 qualifying linebackers in coverage. That's like, I'm telling you, circle number 44, that's where it's going to be. And Shanahan's going to set up that triangle. You know, George Kittle with the stick and go and all that stuff right behind him. CMC with the option route underneath. Slant on the backside, like pick your poison there. I really think that that's just going to be, and the Niners get a whole extra day to kind of dissect and figure out how they're going to approach this. So Kyle Shanahan versus Zaire Franklin, I know he's not on the field, but how he attacks him with Kittle and CMC and what that's going to look like. Now the question is, Ricky Pearsall finally comes out and just freaking balls out. Incredible game. Now he's banged up. I don't expect him to practice today. Do you expect him to play, though? Let's start there. Do you think Pearsall is going to be playing this week?
I don't think so. I think that he's probably banged up a little bit too much to be able to play in this game. I think if it was just the ankle or maybe even just the knee irritation, but anytime you start talking about knee irritation, you don't know what the extent of it is. Is it a complete re-injury of what he had, or is it just, hey, the thing's sore, so we need to monitor it? But I think you're going to a situation where you've got Kendrick Bourne. You know, he's done the job for you. He's got almost 500 yards receiving. He's a good enough wide receiver to help your football team that you can get by a week. And I think it's important to have Ricky Pearsall for the last two games, but especially the playoffs. And the 49ers do have to take that into consideration. And I think, unfortunately, that hip drop tackle and injuring the ankle is what causes him to hurt his knee again later as you're kind of putting more pressure on that knee. So I don't think he plays. I think they go with Kendrick Bourne. I would love for him to play because I think Ricky Pearsall was really coming into his own. That was a really good game. I don't know why there's a lot of people that don't like Ricky Pearsall because I've heard
that's
a
weird.
Lot of Ricky
Pearsall. I didn't like the pick, but it had nothing to do with Ricky. It just was, man, we have 3 second-term contract wide receivers at the time. Now we do not, but that's okay. Look at this. McFarland, appreciate the super chat. He says, let's get Sky Moore involved during the line of scrimmage. Man, we've run like one jet sweep this year, and it went to DeMarcus Robinson. I know you had the jumbo sweep to Kittle, which lost him. Like, why not get Sky Moore involved in some screens or some jet sweeps? Any ideas there?
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't been doing it. Well, no, actually, I'll take that back. I think I do know why they haven't been doing it. Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to have negative plays. He no longer wants any negative plays in his offense. And anytime you run a player like that behind the line of scrimmage, you run the risk of a negative play. Look at D. Winters last week blowing up a play in the backfield for a loss of 6. Those things change drives. So I think Kyle Shanahan has done that a lot. I think that part of him kind of leaving that out of the offense doesn't mean it won't come back. There's probably going to be some opportunities when teams start overcommitting to stopping this team, but it also plays in the fact you don't run the ball as effectively as you used to. You used to get everyone committing to stop the run game, and then you could kind of come out the other side with some of those reverses and things. But Sky Moore might get some more opportunities this week, especially if Ricky Pearsall doesn't play.
Yeah, yeah. Well said there. Dale, appreciate the super chat. Colts turn the ball over if we don't drop it. 28-17. That would have the 49ers covering the spread and then some, which I really, really like. And yeah, I think turnovers would be there. You know, probably the Achilles heel to Jonathan Taylor is ball security and drop passes. Like, he does not have good hands, and he fumbles a consistent amount throughout his entire career. That is a real thing. So can you be the team that takes advantage of those? Opportunities are there every single football game. But the 49ers have not been a team that have taken advantage of that. If they do, if the turnover margin 0-0, or let me say it this way. If the 49ers finish this game with just a 0 neutral turnover win differential, they win this game. If they are plus, they're winning the game by double digits. I believe that. Now, there has been some movement. Shout out to Cam's dad, super chat. He said, bet you aunt, Ricky plays this week, 100% must win. I don't think the 49ers see this as a quote-unquote must win. And I think you approach it all the time like that, but I think the 49ers are already in the playoffs. But hey, Cam, I hope you're right. He's saying Ricky's playing this week. He's at 100%. That's pretty confident. That's as confident as you get. I don't know where you came up with that number, Cam, but I like it, man. I like the positivity. What do you think about Anthony Richardson getting his 21-day practice window open? You think he'll just be the backup now?
Yeah, I mean, right now, right, they've invested in Phillip Rivers. I think if they lose this game to the 49ers, then they might look at this as, hey, this season's a wrap. Let's go ahead and put Anthony Richardson in for the last two games and see what he could do. Because I think that, you know, they still have to make some decisions moving forward on what they're going to do at quarterback. Daniel Jones is going to be a free agent. He's also got an Achilles injury. Phillip Rivers is definitely not your long-term fix at quarterback. So Anthony Richardson is still someone you got to look at. You got to decide. And ultimately you're hoping maybe a team around the league looks at him and says, hey, Anthony Richardson might look good in our uniform. And maybe Dallas needs another backup quarterback.
Yeah. And Dale says, you know, where the heck is Cowing? His 21-day practice window's open now as well. So if Pearsall cannot go, I think there is a small chance that you see him. I think it'd probably be easier to have Kendrick Bourne just go back to that Z spot with DeMarcus Robinson. You know, he could play all three spots, but long-term answer, you could get Cowie in there. I doubt that we see him this year, but he could play that role. He's played it in the past as well. Jordan Watkins, he has played X exclusively. So I don't think that the Ricky Pearsall injury affects whether, you know, Pearsall goes or not. I don't think it affects Watkins at all. Am I wrong there?
No, I don't think so either. I don't think this means – I mean, Jordan Watkins might be suited up. I mean, there's a chance that that could happen just so they have depth at the position. But I don't think Jacob Cowing is playing this year. In fact, when they got Sky Moore and Sky Moore made a couple of good returns, it was the end of Jacob Cowing's season, in my opinion. I thought they were going to redshirt him at that point because you don't really need two of those guys right now. They kind of do the same things. We just haven't seen enough from Cowing. I had a lot of high hopes, but he couldn't stay healthy through training camp. And so now he's got to wait, and the 49ers can just sit there, sit back and wait and see what he can do next year. But right now they're going to count on the veterans, the guys that have been doing it all year that Kyle Shanahan feels comfortable with.
Yeah, and I've been thinking this. I'm with you, Maria. Looks like Brock has more chemistry with DeMarcus than Bourne. Like, I wouldn't mind DeMarcus Robinson getting that Z spot, but he's been playing the number three role. DeMarcus Robinson's been playing the slot role when they go 11 11 personnel, and he's been backing up the X role. So DeMarcus Robinson's been playing X and slot, and then you've had Kendrick, who's just been playing Z. So I doubt that they will toggle that. So I expect Bourne to get the start if he cannot go, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. Dale, again, appreciate Super Chat. Monday is a must win if Seahawks win tonight. All the games. If you're talking about must win, if you're just looking to get into the playoffs, you win one game, you're in. Lions lose one game, you're in. I truly believe the 49ers are already in. Now, mathematically, they are not. But even if the Niners go 0-3, which I don't think that they will, I think that they make the playoffs. But the question is, what seed do you want? The most likely seed is that fifth seed. That's probably where they're going to end up. Now, if the Seahawks win tonight, that one seed becomes a very real possibility. But from a playoff standpoint, I fully expect the Niners to be in. And Camstad, thanks again for the super chat. If we lose the last three games, we could end up as a seventh seed. This is our best bet to win. No letting off the gas. This is a must win. Yeah, I mean, it's December football. Yeah, you got to win these games whenever it matters most, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, every game you want it to be a must win, and I get it. If the Seahawks win, tonight, then that's going to be the impression that everyone's going to put, that these are must win, and the 49ers will feel that way, but never at the expense of a player's health, because they are thinking about the playoffs, and playoff seeding is not more important than, you know, what happens in the playoffs where the games actually matter. So I don't think that they would play somebody like Ricky Pearsall that's hurt, and I get the thought process that every game's a must win, but Kyle Shanahan has been dealing with this all season. He's been playing without Ricky Pearsall for half of the time, at least, or over half the time. He believes in Kendrick Bourne. He knows what they got when they signed him. So they're not gonna miss the beat. They're gonna play to win every single game they come into. But you know, the playoffs, yes, it's the playoff mentality right now, because every game's a playoff game per se. But the real playoff games start in January, and that's what they're gonna remember. But hopefully it does put them in a situation where they have a shot at that number one seed, because I think they would be highly motivated, especially guys like Trent Williams and George Kittle, who remember how important it is to have that bye week again. But the most important part, not the bye week, in fact, you only have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl instead of three. That's a big difference.
Yeah, that bye week is huge. It is huge. If you have a chance, which we'll find out tonight, and I think that'd be a big deal. Thanks again, Cam's dad. He says Ricky will insist on playing. Kyle will let him. I think we'll see. The practice reports are going to be huge. Those come out today. And what do we got the next couple of days? What can we look for on your show before we head out?
Yeah, so I'm going to be having my game preview show come out tomorrow. And then on Saturday, I'm going to record with Mark. We have not been able to work out a episode with Mark. That's, you know, Mark Adams of 40 Yards Camelot, for those
red
who don't know.
So,
red and bold. Join us at 11 a.m. Pacific time over on YouTube. So you guys can come check that out. We'll be doing that. We've been on hiatus for like over a month, but we're coming back for that one.
People don't know how hard it is to get these scheduled shows when you're with other people together. It's hard, man. Life, it just happens. And so, man, I appreciate that show. Mark's incredible. Great writer. Good dude. So, y'all go check that out for sure. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here. I made it through the show. I did not lose my cookies, which is great news. And we will keep going and keep rolling. And, man, until next time, faithful, stay strong.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer.
Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.